I'm an ex-smoker. But I have a problem with government going in and legislating a private owner of a private company.
More public input needed in drafting a proposed smoking ban in Skagway. And a Klukwan leader speaks in the capital city for Native American Heritage Month. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories and more coming up. Skagway residents want more input on a proposed no-smoking ordinance before it's introduced to the Assembly in January. Last month, the town's Health, Education, and Welfare Committee recommended the law to the Assembly.
Well, I guess I've just gotten to the point where I think it's really affecting us.
Assemblywoman Colette Hisman is the chair of that group. Assemblyman Tim Cochran also sits on the Health Committee, which seeks resident input as it drafts a no-smoking ordinance that'll appear on the January 6th Assembly agenda for introduction.
It's an emotional issue. It's there's a lot of passion on each side.
The ordinance, as it looks now, is based on several other enacted rules, like those in Anchorage and Haines. But unlike many other locations, Skagway is not sending the decision to the voters. At this point, it'll be up to the Borough Assembly to decide if the habit will be illegal in most indoor spaces and some outdoor space. However, the extent of the possible prohibition is still up for discussion. A series of public meetings began the second week of December with residents and business owners speaking for and against the idea. They also offered suggestions for how the ordinance could be written to best fit Skagway.
And in the historical district, one of the local people there said, you know, it's a safety hazard. We have boardwalks and we have turn-of-the-century buildings. It's all dry wood. And we've had several fires in the boardwalk or some of the buildings because someone was careless with a cigarette and it got wedged between the sidewalk and the side of the building and started a fire. A very valid concern.
No smoking signs wouldn't be new to the gateway to the Klondike. Some businesses have decided on their own to discourage smoking under their roofs, either during dining hours or during all hours. The Red Onion Saloon is one of them and went non-smoking about 5 years ago. Owner Jan Rentmore says she hopes the borough passes the law so other businesses go smoke-free too.
And it worked out really well for us. We saw a pretty big increase in our food sales, but of course that's summertime, so winter is different. But yeah, I was afraid that sales would fall off. The employees were worried about their tips. And in the end, it worked out really well for us, and our evenings are still very strong, and people stand outside and smoke, and I regret not having done it sooner.
But at least two assembly members, including Cochran, say they cannot support the ordinance because it gives the borough too much control over private business.
My stance on it myself, I don't smoke, and smoking does bother me when it's really thick. And I'm an ex-smoker, but I have a problem with government going in and legislating a private owner of a private company to say he can or can't do something in the, you know, on his own property. Now, if it's a public area where public needs to go in, like a grocery store, a hardware store, you know, services that you need, by all means, that should be non-smoking.
Some private club members echoed this concern in public testimony, saying their facilities should be excluded from the law.
You know, there's an Elks and Eagles club. They're private clubs. They have memberships, and they have voting, and they feel that the private club, which is owned by the club, the building is owned, it's not leased by the city or anything. If it was leased and the city does an ordinance, then they probably wouldn't have a leg to stand on. But because the clubs own their buildings, they feel that they should be able to dictate whether it's a smoking establishment or not.
Other residents and borough representatives are worried about the burden of enforcing a law that could incriminate people for lighting up. A big job for a tiny town that's also a major cruise ship port.
5,000 to 10,000 people milling around in those first 4 or 5 blocks of Broadway. You know, we have 4 policemen. Local people could say, hey, you need to put that out, and you'll probably get a stare at, like, who are you? I think it'll be an extremely hard issue in the summer with the populations that go streaming through here to keep them from smoking.
Skagway would, however, be following in the footsteps of several other cruise ship ports in Southeast Alaska if they choose to enact the proposed law. At this time, language prohibits smoking in enclosed public places and includes private clubs and spaces outside of public doorways. It also extends to some outdoor public spaces like sports fields. At least one more meeting will involve the public before the Skagway Assembly takes the issue on early next year. Later this month, the committee will present a new ordinance updated with feedback from the December 6th public meeting.
So I think it was a majority of people that were for an ordinance and less against it, but I think we heard both sides.
The Skagway Health, Education, and Welfare Committee invites the public to a second meeting on Thursday, December 30th at 5 p.m. in Assembly Chambers to discuss the updates to the proposed no-smoking ordinance. Copies of the new proposal will be available at City Hall in advance of the meeting.
Oh, I think we've come a long way because I think there are a lot of people I know were smokers that are no longer smokers now. And for whatever reason, I think a lot of it's just trying to be health conscious, and some of it was, I know a few people that had to quit smoking, they got to an age where, emphysema is coming in, the doctor said, you need to quit or you're going to die. But I think, overall, I think the consensus is everybody is a little more health conscious now. I remember Moe's, you couldn't see the other end of the bar because it was just a haze in there, and I think those are things of the past.
Goat season continues for Northern Lynn Canal hunters, with harvest closely matching the previous season so far. The Northern Lynn Canal has three major goat hunt registrations, some opened as early as August. Many are closing right about now as they reach prescribed harvest limits. Anthony Krupe is Assistant Area Management Biologist with the Division of Wildlife Conservation, Department of Fish and Game.
So the majority of areas close on November 30th, and we've had a seems like a fairly average harvest this year.
An emergency order is the standard procedure for closing an area to hunting once the allowable limit of goats is taken. Krupe says the progress of the season is much like last year.
And the areas that closed this year are similar to areas that have closed in the past. We have a point system that determines our harvest. Billies are worth 1 point and a nanny is worth 2 points. So it serves the hunter to target billies by allowing more goats to be harvested that way. Nannies are really susceptible in the harvest because they're so slow to reproduction, and the intervals in between reproduction is often long, so we try to minimize the harvest of nannies through this selective point strategy.
However, some areas did see more goats taken than last year. The Tuckasegg Range has two different management areas, and the area around Tuckahoe Mountain usually closes within the first week of the season in September.
This year there was quite a bit of harvest in that area, and the rest of the Tuckasegg reached its harvest about the end of October, and so then we closed that area.
The area north of the East Fork River in Skagway also closed to goat hunting back in September, and more recently, two areas east of the Taya Inlet reached their point capacities.
Seems like a majority of points were taken in a lot of areas throughout Northern Lynn Canal, but there's still several areas that are open through the end of the year for mountain goat hunting, provide additional opportunity for people interested in harvesting goats.
The annual survey to monitor goat populations took place in late summer to provide information that helps biologists set guideline harvests for the following season.
Every year we conduct aerial surveys in both Haines and Skagway to assess mountain goat population abundance and composition, their distribution and productivity. And we had fairly good goat counts throughout most of the units that were surveyed this year. Usually whenever the weather is good enough, right before the snow and we get a high overcast day, we're able to conduct a good survey. And this year most of those surveys were in September.
Krupe says the Tuckasegg Ridge saw the biggest change in goat numbers last year, but this year's numbers were stable.
One of the interesting parts of the surveys this year were that we also have radio-collared mountain goats that we talked about earlier this summer. And with that, we're able to come up with a sightability correction that we can see if we see the collared goats, and then we go back with the radio telemetry and see if we missed any goats, and that comes up with a correction factor for sightability.
Goat season remains open in select areas in the Northern Lynn Canal through the end of 2010.
One main area, the west side south of the Haines Highway, is open August 1st to December 31st. Within those units, Tuckasegg Ridge closed by emergency order September 24th, and the rest of the area around Flower Mountain and Porcupine Mountain and the up the Kicking Horse and all the way down towards Rainbow and Davidson Glacier is all still open for mountain goat hunting.
David Katzik of Klukwan is speaking in Juneau on Monday in a Sea Alaska Heritage Institute Brown Bag Lunch Lecture in honor of Native American Heritage Month. Katzik, leader of the Shungu KD clan in Klukwan, will give a talk on the traditional Tlingit education system. He'll speak on the traditional and ancient educational systems and how it used stories that helped the Tlingit learn about weaving baskets, Chilkat robes, and making canoes, as well as share knowledge on salmon, biology, hydrology, and other disciplines. It's free to the public, scheduled from noon to 1 p.m. Monday, December 6th at the Sea Alaska Plaza in the boardroom on the fourth floor in Juneau. This is Tara Bicknell for KHNS News. Stay tuned to KHNS Monday for live coverage of the swearing-in ceremonies for Alaska Governor Sean Parnell and Lieutenant Governor-elect Mead Treadwell. December 6th, from about 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m., APRN will provide live coverage of the ceremony in Juneau via your community radio station. That's swearing-in of Alaska Governor and Lieutenant Governor on KHNS. Monday, December 6th, starting at around 11:30 a.m.